There is a car commercial running right now that really irritates me. And it's a kind of car that I actually kind of like, but the commercial says this. Shows somebody driving, of course, one of these enviable cars. And the narration says, "How do you want to live your life? As a decent person, a fine human being," gives a few more other choices. "Is that it? Good?" Then it goes on to say, "Parent of the year? Better. Employee of the month? Excellent." The whole commercial gives us this implication that being good is boring. And it is not something you should aspire to. The implication is that you should want to be more than just good, that you should want to be better than someone else. And of course, the way you get to be better is by having this car. But here's the thing. Good is an intrinsic value. It lasts. It has value in itself. It does not rely on the performance or lack thereof of anyone else. To say you want to be great, on the other hand, in our culture is a competitive word, a comparative word. And when we get into comparisons, we invite resentment. We need for other people to see that we're not just good, we're better. Better than they are. I believe, though, that it is more important to be loving than to win. It is more important to be loving than to be right. It is more important to be good than it is to be great. Our reading from Romans today says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law." Goes on to give the specific commandments. And they're all summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. This is so hard to do in our culture. Because everything we do emphasizes winning. It emphasizes competition and comparison. And it's fueled, in part, by the marketing of consumerism. You know I like my consumer things as much as anybody does, but they're not going to save me. And all of this competition and comparison works against the building of God's kingdom and against the building of an individual kingdom heart. The desire to win, to be great, is part of why we struggle with the value of simple goodness. And we're willing to believe that being good is just too boring. If we focus on being a good person, we're not obviously visibly winning anything and coming out ahead. We can't prove that we have worth that's better than what someone else has. Romans also says, "Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." This is the armor of light. The goodness of following Jesus Christ in forgiveness, in healing, in compassion, in mercy. This is something for us to aspire to. As the collect for today says, "Of God, you never forsake those who make boast of your mercy." Now we have an interesting gospel today, one that I all too often ignore. Jesus tells us in the gospel that how we are to live as the church, as the body of Christ on earth. Paul has already told us in Romans how the body of Christ takes shape. And Jesus gives us this formula for how to treat one another in the church. But ultimately, we have to remember the summary: love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. It's important for us to see the church, as it is mentioned here in the gospel, to see the church not just as a church building or an organization, but as the body of Christ, as all humanity, as daunting as that sounds. We are to seek goodness for ourselves so that we can be loving to all neighbors in the body of Christ. This passage in the gospel today is not just about a process for handling the particulars of church conflict. It is telling us also that if we self-identify as Christians, that we are supposed to be builders, never destroyers. We have not resentment, but compassion. We worry not about being great, but about being good as God in Christ is good. One of the commentaries on this passage says this: the church has not been given the power to bind and to loose because it is always right, but because its primary language is one of confession, restoration, and reconciliation when offenses and divisions occur. Being the church often will mean that we have to shed our need to be the best individuals and choose to heal and restore and build the body of Christ, to do no harm to a neighbor, even if human standards would say that that harm is valid and justified. It doesn't mean that we won't have conflict in church. It means that we will learn, as we are with each other, about reconciliation and healing and restoration. We will value being good over being better than someone else. Good is an intrinsic ontological change within us. Better is comparative and fleeting. There is a hymn that we will sing at the later service that I have never heard this before. But here's what it says: forgive our sins as we forgive. You taught us, Lord, to pray. But you alone can grant us grace to live the words we say. How can your pardon reach and bless the unforgiving heart that broods on wrongs and will not let old bitterness depart? Lord, cleanse the depths within our souls and bid resentment cease. Then reconciled to God and man, our lives will spread your peace. Ow. We are to let go of resentment and competition and live with this attitude of loving neighbor. And if we do that, especially with the people who hurt us, it means that we are builders and we're not destroyers. If we don't need to win, we can be good, which is a much more lasting gift than to be better than someone else. Being loving for the Christian is always more important than being right. Now, what would it look like in real life to seek to be good? Let me tell you the kinds of things you would hear around you if you try to be good all the time. You'll hear people say to you, "I can't believe you put up with that. Don't let them run over you. Assert your rights." Okay, I'll assert my rights. But as a Christian American, I will seek a way to be good in that system of rights. The world says, show that you're better than others, that you've won something. Jesus commands us, don't ever give up on another person. Never stop helping them feel loved and healed and whole. The rest of the world increasingly gives up on people that they don't agree with and demonizes them instead of embracing them. But we are Christians. We are called to be good far beyond what human response would demand. How can your pardon reach and bless the unforgiving heart that broods on wrongs and will not let old bitterness depart? We're trying to do something here that is countercultural. And we cannot sustain such countercultural ways on our own, given all the pressures that we feel from inside and from outside. We have to pray for God to forgive the hurts done to us, and for God to give us the strength to forgive them. So to paraphrase the commercial, how do you want to live? As the parent of the year, or as the quiet parent who invests untold, invisible hours of listening and teaching so the child knows love intimately and certainly? As employee of the month, or as a person who always builds people up without regard to rank, yours or theirs, who has regard only for the health and healing of human beings and not for personal accomplishment? A person who is less likely to run people down because you're constantly building them up. Is that it? You want to be good? Yes. Not just good enough, but loving and living for God, knowing that good is enough.